Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, the Derek Chauvin jury continues its deliberation. Second, why can't Lori Vallow and Chad DeBell be brought to trial? Third, sleepy juror gets to go home. Fourth, this guy has no regrets whatsoever. Fifth, Texas teacher in trouble again. Sixth, could you be this kind? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, if there is a break in the Chauvin matter, we intend to go live, so make sure you have that little bell set. And as always, please join us tonight, Tuesday, for our live program, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and we'll answer your questions about the cases that you want to talk about. And then right after that, we move straight into our Patreon show. So if you're not a Patreon, please sign up. All right, first on the docket, as of right now, April 20th, at about 11:40 Mountain Time, the jury in the Derek Chauvin matter has been deliberating for 8 hours. Now, they are trying to decide the former police officer's fate. He is currently charged with, and the jury must decide whether he is guilty of second-degree murder, unintentional, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, all in relation to the death of George Floyd. I know a lot of people watched the trial from start to finish. I think I've watched about 95% of it, had to catch up a little bit since I was in trial this past week. Let me know if you went into it thinking, I haven't made a decision. What do you think the jury decision may be? I know there's lots of people that have already made their mind up before it even started, and a lot of people that wanted to ignore a lot of facts on both sides. So the jury has a huge decision to make, but they've also been instructed by the judge that they need to make their decision not based on either passion or prejudice, and that they must make their decision regardless of the consequences that they believe could flow from it, i.e. a punishment or outside influences. Please let me know what you think, and we'll kind of let you know the unofficial tally, guilty or not guilty. Leave your comments below. Next on the docket, why can't Lori Vallow and Chad DeBell be brought to trial? And the reason why I bring this up is the matter of Derek Chauvin was brought to trial in less than 1 year. The incident that involved the death of George Floyd took place on May 25th of 2020. We are not even 1 year into that entire matter, and guess what? We've already had a trial, and the jury is deliberating. Then let's take a look at the Lori Vallow matter. Charges were filed in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter on June 10th, specifically relating to the concealment and the death of JJ and Ty Lee. Clearly, we're not going to make a trial within 1 year. Why? Because the defense has yet again moved for another continuance, and they say that they are not prepared to go to trial, and they're going to set a motions date, a status date in June to set an actual trial date and motions date. Why do I bring that to your attention? High profile cases need and require strong judges. The judge in the Derek Chauvin matter was clearly a strong judge. He set deadlines and people complied. It's the old adage, the job expands to the amount of time given. If you set deadlines, it forces people to make decisions. If you don't set any deadlines, people think, well, nothing bad is happening, so let's just wait it out. We have talked about how the defendant has a statutory and constitutional right to a speedy and public trial. Well, one thing that people often forget is the state, right? The state or the federal government has a right to a speedy and public trial too, so that the people can have resolution to these matters. That's why speedy trial is so important. Now, I get it. This is the biggest thing that's hit Idaho in a long time, but the reality of it is, I hope the judge starts putting his gavel down and says, these are the deadlines. We're not changing them unless there is some sort of act of God, and we are not moving these dates. Deadlines won't be extended, and attorneys, you're not getting off this case. So if you don't have the funds and resources to do it, you better get off now, because after a certain date, speak now or forever hold your peace. Next on the docket, a sleepy juror gets to go home. So trials are taking place in most states now, and there is a trial regarding a pretty horrific case regarding the death of a Florida woman by the name of Nicole Montalvo. She's 33, and the trial kicked off on Tuesday morning. The jurors obviously are not being identified other than their juror number. And in this particular case, the state is asking to excuse juror number 16. The prosecutors say that he had his eyes closed for an extended period of time, 10 to 15 seconds. That's right. Maybe he was just resting his eyes. Needless to say, the state was concerned that the nature of these lapses led us to believe that he had missed significant testimony. And then today, juror 16 is being dismissed by the judge. The state asked yesterday that obviously the juror be removed because he was falling asleep. The judge kept an eye on the juror Monday afternoon and made the same observations. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a juror, you have to let people know if you're just going to be so distracted or tired because you're working nights or doing the work that you have to normally do in the day, but you can't because you're on jury duty at night, you have to really let them know. A lot of people would say that is not a hardship for jury duty. It's just part of your civic obligation, but you have to pay attention. The judge made the correct call by getting rid of the sleepy juror. Next on the docket, this guy has got no regrets. Now, every now and then, it just brings me a little glee when you have a client that knows he's going to get whacked by the judge, and basically he says at sentencing, when asked if he has anything to say other than bring it on. You got to love that moxie, just saying, you're going to whack me, judge. Let's do this thing. I like that. None of the groveling that you oftentimes see at sentencing. When you know really people aren't that sincere. And when they're going to get a big sentence, just say, bring it on. Let's do this. I like that. It just kind of says, I know what I did, and I'm going to accept responsibility for it. Well, a man in Nebraska entered a plea, James Fairbanks. He entered a no contest plea to second degree murder. Now, a no contest plea on a second degree murder, I think, is pretty unusual, but maybe they'll allow that in Nebraska. Obviously, they did in this particular case. But a no contest plea is basically saying, hey, I'm not saying I did, I'm not saying I didn't, but I will accept responsibility for what I'm pleading guilty to, kind of. And it's treated as a guilty plea when you say no contest, but it must give somebody a little bit of pleasure in not having to say guilty. Well, Mr. Fairbanks learned that a Matteo Condolucci was residing in a neighborhood where Mr. Fairbanks was going to be residing, and he ultimately learned that his son, who is 12, would be in that neighborhood as well. So Mr. Fairbanks saw Mr. Condolucci, saw that he was oftentimes out with kids, had a playset in his backyard, even though he didn't really have any children of his own. And needless to say, what did Mr. Fairbanks do? He ran a background search, found out Mr. Condolucci was a registered sex offender because of previous cases that he had been involved with. Mr. Fairbanks apparently went over to the residence to talk with Mr. Condolucci to warn him of coming near any children and that he should not do that. The defense for Mr. Fairbanks was originally going to argue self-defense, alleging that Mr. Condolucci came at him and ultimately he had to defend himself because Mr. Fairbanks brought a firearm with him. Well, Mr. Fairbanks pled guilty. He has a sentencing on July 14th where he now faces 21 years to life. He says he has no regrets. Now, 21 years to life also means you're not going to be at home to be with your 12-year-old son. I'm not really sure that was worth it, but if that's what gets you through the day, hey, go for it. But this case also brings to light that no matter how much someone is despised or is despicable, they cannot have vigilante justice brought to them simply because of a fear that they are going to commit a crime. Everybody has a right to due process, no matter how bad we despise their prior conduct. Let's take a quick recess before we go on to our naughty teacher in Texas. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, a Texas teacher in trouble. Take a look at this alleged sexual offender, Marka Bodine. She's 31. And it is alleged that she was having sex with a boy once he turned 13. She was also his former student. And the little affair went on until the student was 16 years old and obviously came forward with the allegations. Bodine was a teacher at the intermediate school where she no longer is employed. Bodine, however, allegedly told the principal that the former student was harassing her. When the police spoke to the former student, the boy alleged that Bodine had befriended him via an online video game. The two started texting and soon after began exchanging explicit images and videos, according to the arrest affidavit. The student alleged that they had sex in her classroom as well as her car on several occasions. Now, Miss Bodine confessed during interviews with the police, hence the reason why she has been charged. Take a look at Miss Bodine. If she was walking down the street, would you say to yourself, oh my gosh, she looks like a sexual offender? No, you would not. That's why I've urged you, go to crimetalksearch.com and check people out if you have any uncertainty or there are questions about them. Because what does somebody that looks like a sexual offender look like? There is no set description at all. Next on the docket, could you be this kind? The owner of a restaurant arrived at his store the other morning to find out that the front window had been smashed and items have been stolen from the restaurant. The owner of the restaurant, Carl Wallace, who owns the Diablo Southwest Grill, put a post on his Facebook page to the would-be robber saying that clearly you are struggling with life decisions or having money issues. Please swing by for a job application. There are better opportunities out there than this path you've chosen. He provided his personal cell phone number, stated there would be no police, no questions. Let's sit down and talk about how we could help you and fix the road you're on. Kudos to Carl Wallace for being such a forgiving man. As of the time of this video being put up, the robber has not come forward and asked for a job application. Do you think you could be so forgiving? Let me know in the comments below. And finally today, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please Please meet Michael Holden. He is facing multiple charges in connection with a break-in last Tuesday in a borough 90 miles east of Pittsburgh. Police allege that Mr. Holden, who's 35, went into the home of an acquaintance. And while he was there, he took $700 in cash, various bank cards, and he also stole the homeowner, a woman's, sex toys, which were valued at about $160, according to the affidavit for the arrest warrant. A neighbor who had seen a man entering the woman's home described the intruder, leading the victim to conclude that it was Holden, an acquaintance of hers, who lives a block away. When the woman and her boyfriend confronted Holden, he reportedly admitted being inside her residence and spotting some money on the floor, right? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers, something like that. No, I don't think that's a valid legal theory under the law. And finally, the thing that got Mr. Holden was the videotape. The neighbors had video of Mr. Holden leaving as well as entering the property. Now, Mr. Holden, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Could it be because you A, confessed, B, went in and stole somebody's sexual toys for your own pleasure? No. Or could it be because you didn't realize that somebody had a Ring doorbell and surveillance cameras in the neighborhood? That's it, Mr. Holden. If you don't know that everything is being videotaped these days, you truly are stupid and you deserve to be captured. Congratulations, Mr. Holden. You are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And if you're the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, that's right, I'm going to send you a Crime Talk mug. And whatever you do with it, that's completely your business. But just remember, this one will be a gift. All right. Thanks for watching. Please do not forget to join us 6 p.m. Mountain Time today for our Crime Talk Live and then our Patreon session immediately thereafter. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.